Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're worldwide live right now on Close Up Radio, and we're continuing our conversation, part two, as we welcome back Susan Finnerty, Finnerty Consultant, to our show. Susan is the founder and CEO of Finnerty Consulting, author of three highly acclaimed books, Master the Matrix, Seven Essentials for Getting Things Done in Complex Organizations, Cross-Function Influence, Getting Things Done Across the Organization, and the Cross-Functional Influence Playbook. She and her team really help clients maximize their expertise. Finnerty Consulting offers keynotes and workshops, coaching and assessments, and their approach is steeped in the research that is the foundation of her books and tailored to their clients' organizations, culture, and needs. She believes strongly in the power of people coming together to learn and solve problems simultaneously. There is great power in learning together because you can't learn to tackle, let alone actually tackle, a complex organizational issue in isolation. So when you're connected and working in the collective, it is amazing what can be achieved. Susan acknowledges that these connections aren't always easy to establish and maintain in our global virtual work environments. But she says at work, we're missing three typical ingredients for solid relationships: proximity, chemistry, and time. We don't run into each other in the hallway anymore. We may not have the commonalities that drive natural chemistry. We don't have the luxury of building relationships over time. The most satisfied and successful people she works with have channeled the power of connection and curiosity. She's also excited to announce the new edition of her book, Master the Matrix, Seven Essentials to Getting Things Done in Complex Organizations, which is hot off the presses, and very, very exciting to have that opportunity to talk about that as well. As we continue with part two of our exclusive close-up series today here on Close-Up Radio with Susan Finnerty. Susan, welcome back to Close-Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you for having me, Jim.
Oh, my pleasure. In part one, we sort of got an understanding of who you are and your inspirations, your passions, and your journey as far as why you love this work and what it is about the work that really speaks to you. Now I'd love to delve into sort of that application of that inspiration and that passion that you have. One of the things that we've all gone through the last two-plus years now and still going through a little bit here is this situation of the pandemic, obviously, and how that's affected and if not made sweeping changes to our workplace in positive and some negative ways as well. From your perspective, being in the thick of it and really working with your clients, you know, in a very in-depth way, from your perspective, how has this health crisis affected the workplace in both positive ways and not so positive ways?
Yeah, I think, yes, because there are benefits, I think, things that we've realized that I don't know that we really understood, and then there's definitely a downside. I think on the positive side, I think we're scrappier now, right? I know that I am as a practitioner. When you are, you know, kind of limited, and for me, you know, my whole profession is speaking and leading workshops in perfect person with rooms of people. And taking that away, I had to get pretty darn innovative. I had to be pretty resourceful. And I had to be pretty flexible. And I think it caused us to truly look at the resources we had in front of us. It caused us to get pretty innovative and creative. And we proved we could do things in very different ways. Like for me specifically, with my clients, we proved that we can learn in remote ways, that we can still make decisions even if we're doing it virtually. So I think we got scrappier. I think the other positive is I think that we got a lot more realistic about the power of planning and really the power of iteration, right? So all of a sudden, we couldn't look very far out, right? Because we just didn't know, were we coming back in person? Were we going to stay remote? Once we, you know, had a plan in place, those plans were constantly shifting. And so I think we got, we really understood better the power of flexibility in our plans and the power of iteration and the power of contingency. So those are all the things that I think that we realized that I think are really good for the workplace, for leaders and for entrepreneurs, that we kind of built that muscle. We really exercised some muscles we hadn't before. The negative piece is, I think, exactly what you mentioned. I believe so strongly in connection and curiosity as a way of really getting things done in the workforce, and connection's hard. Connection's really hard when we have people that are remote. And in big corporations, you know, that's kind of the reality. You'll have people that you need to work with that are, you know, an ocean away. But all of a sudden, we had, you know, everyone working virtually, working remotely, and still here and now, we're doing much more work virtually. And so our relationships are suffering. Our relationships, I think, are coming, becoming much more transactional. And so I look at partnerships kind of on a spectrum, right, from transacting with someone working and kind of handing off work to working collaborative, working hand in hand, or like being attached at the hip and being really integrated with each other. And the virtualness of our work right now is pushing us into the transactional mode, and I think we're suffering. Trust is suffering, and I think some of the collaboration is suffering. And all of a sudden, we're much more reliant on, you know, things like email. And I always joke that email is not really communication. So it's a very transactional way to share information. So I think our human connection, which is such a source of our satisfaction at work, is hurting because of the virtual nature of our workforce right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's quite interesting how it all has played out in so many different ways and so many different levels. One of the big things is, you know, this trust and connection. And how do we really work to not only build but sort of maintain the trust and connection with so many of us now working remotely?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned it in your intro that, you know, I talk about relationships and the same partnerships. That's what I call them at work, partnerships at work. And that's anybody that you've got to work with and work through to get stuff done. With regardless of the pandemic, right? Often when we're working and building partnerships, we're missing three key pillars, right? So other relationships in our life, we have proximity. We see that person. We, you know, live by them. We grew up near them. We're on the same team as them. We've got chemistry and connection and commonality. And we, you know, build relationships over time. And at work, even under normal historic circumstances, all three of those are often missing. Right? So you don't have proximity. Yeah. Definitely don't have proximity now. You may not have chemistry, right? You may not have a commonality or a connection. And I always say, if you've got chemistry with the folks that you work with, that's frosting on the cake, but it's not the cake, right? You still have to work with them regardless of chemistry. And then we don't necessarily have the luxury of time. We can't build partnerships over time. A lot of times we got to jump right into a decision or a problem and automatically trust those people versus kind of wait and see if the trust is going to be built. So I always say partnerships at work have never grown organically. They only truly grow through our deliberate effort. And working remotely kind of doubles down on that fact. You have to be really deliberate in your efforts to build that connection, to reach out, to take the extra step, to have some of those conversations, because they will not grow on their own in this virtual work world. So, I mean, I make suggestions that are pretty tactical for people, right? You've got to create moments. And so if you're working virtually, log on 60 seconds earlier and, have some of those, the pre-meeting conversations, whether it's via chat or it's actually live, have some of those, replicate some of that informal conversation. Just reach out to somebody during that Zoom call and send a chat and say, hey, just checking in, how you doing? Creating some of those moments. I even have a client who, and I love this idea, he started picking up the phone, which is just crazy, right? Picking up the phone and just spending 5 minutes with the people that are really key to him on his team and just saying, hey, I'm just checking in. How you doing? What are you working on? What's your day look like? And so, again, you're not running into people, so you have to create those moments because they don't present themselves anymore. So that deliberate effort to reach out and check in is really, really important right now to maintaining and building those relationships.
That's so important. Exactly. Beautifully said. How does our notion of expertise need to change? Do we have a set vision, whether through osmosis or just culturally, societal, just in terms of what we think expertise, our notion is, and has that changed? Is that changing?
Yeah, this is a big one for me, and I see a couple different sides of it, right? So first of all, there's a pandemic impact on expertise and knowledge, right? So you use the word osmosis, and that's exactly the same word that I use. When we are co-located with people, we learn so much through osmosis, right? And we build our expertise and knowledge of people and priorities and projects and of that business just through osmosis. And so working virtually, we kind of cut off a channel for building our knowledge. And so, again, you've got to make deliberate efforts to build it. And then the other way that I view expertise is a little bit more broadly and kind of gets us out of the pandemic conversation. But I work with people with a lot of letters after their names. And, I mean, they are absolutely brilliant experts in a number of different fields, right? Whether they're doctors or they're lawyers or they're PhDs, people that are brilliant experts. And what I work with them is to pull back on that expertise and round that expertise out. Because what I'm finding in our workforce is our decisions and our problems have become really complex, right? So, if you work with a complex problem or you work under complex regulatory scenarios or complex distribution models, we've got some pretty complex problems that we've got to solve. And when you have that level of complexity, you've got to pull a lot of different experts in, right? And so we realize the value of expertise, but we throw these experts in a room, and sometimes they can kind of get stuck in their expertise, right? And so if you just come at a problem with your individual expertise, it's just not enough. It's just not gonna, it's not gonna get the organization where they need to get. And so I kind of only half joke with people that if you enter into a decision with a bunch of other experts, realize that individually you are all wrong. It's only in the collective that you're right. So in order for your expertise to truly be an impact on the organization, you have got to be able to meld that expertise with the expertise of others to solve problems. You've got to wrap that expertise in a ton of flexibility and give and take and humility. You've got to wrap it with a real partnership mentality, and you've got to wrap it with broad, more business acumen. So I think our view of expertise has to change, both because of our remoteness as well as the nature of our problems, and to realize that our own expertise without the ability to kind of blend it together with other expertise around the organization can be limited and won't have the impact that we want it to have.
That's so important for people to realize. How does our then our three-generation workforce view issues like trust and connection and even expertise? How do they view them even differently?
Yeah, radically differently, right? I mean, I see that every day. And so what I see around connection, I think, is probably an obvious one that's been talked to death, right? The boomers and, you know, I'm kind of an older Gen X, you know, we're kind of the in-person, like that face-to-face, that's how we build connection. And then you have millennials and even, you know, Gen Zs, as they begin to enter the workforce here, that really rely on technology. And what I say when I'm talking broadly to multiple generations is, yes, you're all right. Yes, you need face-to-face. Yes, you've got to tap into technology. And so if we kind of stand our ground and talk about, you know, one method of connection versus another, we're really limiting ourselves. We've got to see that everybody has a point in this, and any mechanism for connecting is important and has its place. It's a matter of, you know, do you use all those different mechanisms, or are you kind of stay in your comfort zone, right? So if you're staying in your comfort zone shooting text because you don't necessarily want to pick up the phone, then that's the wrong way to use text. If the message truly can be delivered or the problem can absolutely be solved via text, then cool. But if it's about your comfort level, that's completely different. So I think what I tell people is you are all right. Get out of your generational mindsets, and it's one versus the other, and realize that there is we are blessed with a whole host of different ways to communicate. Use them all. I think the expertise thing is a really interesting one across the generations in our workforce, too. I think millennials view their expertise, I believe, at least what I've seen, is as a little bit more diffused, varied versus kind of picking one and kind of picking that lane, and I am an expertise here. Whereas I think boomers, Gen X, we kind of picked our expertise and we've stayed there, right? And so I think understanding really the value of both, and I think, again, it goes back to, you know, being able to bring those expertises together in the collective, and seeing expertise as collective, I think, is viewed much easier by millennials than it might be for boomers. And I'm speaking for myself again as a kind of an older Gen X. I didn't have a team project until I was out of grad school and in the workforce. So this idea of in collective was something that I came to the party late on. Millennials have been working in teams since they were in preschool. And so they get that in the collective in a different, deeper way that I think the boomers and the Gen X generations could learn from, quite honestly.
That's true. Absolutely. There's always opportunity to learn and to grow and to apply what we've learned into our daily lives. You know, you have this incredible focus on curiosity as a critical competency. Tell us about this focus on curiosity as a critical competency.
Yeah, I'm
curious,
I think it's
about
a total. I like it. Well done. I think it's a totally underrated competency. Right? I think there are sexier competencies, right? Oh, I think strategically, or, you know, leadership is this critical competency, or, you know, in any variety of those, right? But I think underlying all of those, you know, more sophisticated sounding competencies and, you know, the buzzwords, underlying those is a really basic competency of being curious. Right? So, you know, as I think about that as a base competency, that's a base competency in building trust and partnerships. If you think of somebody who is genuinely and naturally curious, they're so easy to trust, right?
Yeah.
they ask you good questions. You truly feel heard and understood by them, which is a huge step in building trust and building partnerships. If I don't feel heard or understood by you, I'm certainly not going to trust you, let alone collaborate with you. But when you encounter somebody who's just genuinely curious, it's so powerful in building trust and really taking conversations to a deeper level. So I think curiosity is such a base level competency for listening and building partnerships and building trust. And even, quite honestly, influence. So I do a lot of work with, teaching, speaking, coaching around influence without authority. And, you know, one of the stats that I throw out is based on my research, most people in organizations get about 11% of their work done through their authority, and the rest of that, 89%, is all through influence. So it's getting things done when I'm not in charge of it, but I'm influencing others. So it's a huge competency. It's a huge, you know, kind of method for getting work done. And underlying influence is curiosity, because if I'm not curious in terms of what your needs are, what your situation is, if I don't meet you where you are, if I'm not curious enough to ask questions to truly meet you where you are, I'm not going to be able to influence you. I've seen time and time again people kind of influence, again, kind of from an expertise perspective, like, I am the expert, therefore I'm telling you, you should do it this way. And no matter what your expertise is, if people don't feel like you hear and understand them, they're going to be hesitant to be influenced by you. And so I believe our influence really starts with being curious. So that's my plug for curiosity. Did I win? Is it up there on your list now, Jim?
Yeah. Yes. Well done. I mean, and that's really what it's all about, right? I mean, these are all practical things that we can apply. It's all critical for success in today's workplace, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So connection at work, obviously, can be challenging, but some of these things that you're talking about can really make a world of difference. How has our approach to work changed, and how we sort of continue to evolve and continue to change while still making sure we maintain those connections? You know, obviously now they're talking artificial intelligence, virtual reality, a lot of things that take us maybe even further from the human condition. So for somebody like you, I would imagine you're having to constantly, you know, pivot and be late, you know, just like the accountant with all the IRS rules and changes, they have to be on, you know, par and up to date with all the changes and laws and all the different things. I would imagine with somebody like you, with everything changing in a sweeping way and faster than ever, you have to really be ahead of the curve for your clients with these changes and have these strategies and approaches set, ready, set, go for them. Must be something, huh?
Yeah. You know, I've never really thought of it that way. I've never compared myself to an accountant, but you're absolutely right. Pivot was like the word of the year for the past 2 years, right? And staying on top of that and staying one step ahead of it, because our workforce and how we get work done has just changed dramatically. And so staying on top of that and being able to offer, advice and counsel and, you know, here's what other people are doing is something that's been pretty rewarding, because, you know, I get the benefit of, I don't work in a single company, right? I work across industries. So I've been able to and kind of say, this is what, you know, this is what this company is doing over here, and, you know, try this, because we're all trying to stay ahead of the game. But yeah, I mean, quite honestly, if I can connect, you know, a number of different dots, I've had to get really curious. And I think some of the things that I talk about that I, you know, that the workforce has experienced, I have experienced those, right? And I've had to change the way I look at my work. And I've had to ramp up my own individual curiosity so that I can bring back those nuggets to my my clients. And I've had to navigate some massive ambiguity, as we all are. And I think, you know, the piece of, you know, the ambiguous nature of our work right now, it's not going away. And I can remember, you know, early in my career, we had a crazy year in a company that I worked for, and it was super ambiguous. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, here's to the, you know, the next year when it's less ambiguous. And it hasn't gotten any less ambiguous. It's ramped up. And I think that continues. And it really is at odds with our need to be perfect, right, and our need to do it right the first time. So I think those that are going to be able to really excel over the next few years will have a very high tolerance for ambiguity. They will be able to take their expertise and really meld it and harmonize it with the expertise of others. They'll be able to keep connections and make deliberate effort to build connections and not see relationships as a side job, in all honesty, and be able to bring all that together and to make an impact on the organization. But it's changing rapidly. Yeah, and I think I'm barely one step ahead of my clients on the next pivot.
That's so good to know. I mean, because on so many different levels, it really can be extraordinary to try to sort of keep up with it all. But to have somebody like you as a wonderful resource to help guide your clients and help them find that focus, clarity, keep the train on the track is extraordinary. We only have like a minute left, but congratulations on Master the Matrix, Seven Essentials for Getting Things Done in Complex Organizations. Did you want to say something briefly about that new edition of your book?
Yeah. Yes. So it will be out next month. I left it all in the field on this one. So
yeah.
I think I added 25 pages to it. So I think, you know, when you write a book that you know you're going to consult and coach and teach around, there's a tendency to maybe hold back. Like, oh, if I give them everything, they're not going to hire me. I took all of those filters out, and I put everything into this. So I put all my best stories, the best tips, the best observations. So it's all in there. And I added a specific section around what does all this look like virtually. And so that's a big part of this, that each and every chapter has a virtual lens and what it means to do this when you're not co-located. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty proud of it.
Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks.
On that and the other materials as well, the other books. www.finertyconsulting.com is the website, gang. I'll spell that out. That's Finerty, finertyconsulting.com to connect with Susan. She's extraordinary. She's passionate. You can tell she has a thirst for what she does as the founder and CEO of Finerty Consulting and author, again, of three highly acclaimed books. And so much more. She and her team help clients maximize their expertise on many different levels, which leads to happiness in a profound way as well overall. Mm-hmm. Susan, thanks for joining us on the show. Went by in a New York minute, but I hope we get a chance to explore some more, maybe hear some success stories and things of that nature. That would be a pleasure. Thanks for joining me on this episode. It was a pleasure having you on for part two.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome. Keep up the amazing work. Susan Finerty of Finerty Consulting. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time till next time and inviting you to stay right there. I'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest from around the world on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and thanks for listening. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.